much, Ben Milstead. Text from the 864 says, I took Sellers in the College Football 27 transfer portal as Clemson. 5 for 5. So that tells you what he thinks. Good player. Really good player. Let's ask Will Vandervoort about that from the ClemsonSider.com. He joins us right now. At Steeler Will on Twitter, if you like to hit him up there. What's up, Willie V?
What's going on, Quack? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. No complaints whatsoever. Let me ask you this. Lenore Sellers, where would you, off the top of the dome, where would you rank him, or maybe what tier, like top 3, top 5, top 10, whatever, would you rank him among quarterbacks in the SEC?
I would say he's probably top 5. And so I don't know how you rank that as tier. Maybe that's the second tier, right? I think here's the thing with Lenore Sellers, and I think it showed, and I think Clemson, go back and watch the Clemson game, and it's a prime example of this. We know Clemson's secondary wasn't that great last year, right? I mean, we all know that. Yet on the short, contested throws, if the Clemson player was, and if you look at Clemson's scheme, South Carolina, they played a lot of man matchups, and they dared basically Sellers to, in certain situations, to throw that window, that ball in tight windows, and he couldn't make those throws, and he struggled not just against Clemson, but a lot of people doing that, and that's what hurt his NFL stock, I think, a little bit. Is he's got to. His deep ball now is as good as anybody in the business. I mean, he throws one of the prettiest deep balls I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot because I watched Taj Boyd throw probably what I think is still the prettiest deep ball of anybody I've ever seen. And, you know, his deep balls are just on the money and perfect, but he struggles in those short passes, especially contested passes. And if you go back and watch the Clemson game, he really struggled in that, and doesn't make quick, decisive decisions. That's something. Now, that could be part of the offensive line was part of that issue, too, last year. But he's got to learn to get the ball out quicker and make more decisive decisions. I think these are things he's got to grow in this year. Can he become that guy? I think he can. And I said this from the very beginning. It reminds me of Cam Newton. And I think because he has 3 years to get better at his craft before going to the NFL, he's got a chance to be better than Cam Newton in the NFL. And I know everybody's like, oh, my goodness, that's high praise. And it is high praise. I think he has that chance. But he's got to get better in those short to intermediate passes with his accuracy and learning how to complete passes when guys are not wide open. He's got to learn how to throw guys open is what I'm trying to say. I think that would be my major critique with him right now.
Interesting stuff there. I think all those are valid. I don't want to try to disagree with any of that. Let me draw people's attention to two pieces you wrote on the Protect College Sports Act this week. Will Vandervoort, our political correspondent for the Clemson Insider, getting us attuned to what's going on in Congress. Let's talk about the realignment piece of this first. We briefly touched on it maybe a week or so ago, but, man, it feels like a non-zero chance that because Congress, if they decide to put a deadline on this, it could heat up some realignment talks, even if the leagues are not quite ready to absorb some new teams. What do you feel about that?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing, a couple things you got to look at with this. Okay, so with the ruling, Congress is going to say, okay, the Big Four can realign, right? But they can only, if the rules pass, they can only bring up somebody from a group of six. They can't go get, like, you know, basically the SEC can't go get Clemson once this bill comes into play.
Right.
And they can only have a max, regardless of when the bill is passed, they can only have a max of 19 teams in their conference. So nobody can be over 20 teams or 20 or more teams. So now that's interesting numbers. Here's why, Quark, because the SEC has 16 teams. I don't think the SEC wants to get to 19. Because why would they? You know,
it's a prime, you know, number. The ACC says, let's do a prime number. Let's just make it really hard for everybody.
Make it hard for everybody. So I don't think SEC wants to do that. The Big Ten is already at 18. But there is a team out there who's an independent in football and then plays in another conference for every other sport, which causes another conference to have that prime number problem you talked about. And, you know, that number sitting at 19 is interesting for the Big Ten, because the Big Ten can say, well, we got our 18 football teams, let's go add Notre Dame, and we got our 19 football team. I mean, we got our 19 teams in other sports. We'll figure that out. But we stayed 18 in football. And then, okay, so that's why that number 19 was interesting number to me. Now, that's just me speculating. But the 18 is interesting. I mean, the 19 number is interesting for the SEC, because the SEC could still add two teams. So who are those two teams? You know, again, we don't know who that would be, but we know who are some of the candidates. And I would say Clemson is one of those candidates, right? So we could see a situation where if they think this law will get passed by the Senate, and by the way, if it gets passed by the Senate, I think it gets passed by the House. And right now, according to Senator Cruz, it looks like it's going to be passed by the Senate. And so they want to have this done before the end of this year. They want to have it in place before January. I can see this bill getting passed before then. And if that happens, or if the power conferences feel like, you know, oh, my gosh, we're not going to be able to get anybody else in after this of significance, then you could see SEC or Big Ten maybe running and making some deals before this gets done. So if you're the Big Ten and you really want to get Notre Dame in the future, maybe you go and make that move to try to get Notre Dame in. If you're the SEC and you want to get North Carolina, Florida State, Miami, or Clemson in, you go make that move now. You don't wait for that bill to be signed. So that's the interesting thing here to pay attention to here the next several weeks as you get closer to football season. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but don't be surprised if it doesn't, right?
No doubt about it. Visit Will Vandevort here on the program. So if that happened, and I'm asking you to look through the crystal ball here a little bit, if that happened, do you think the leagues would – basically decide, you know what, we can't do this right now, we just have to sit tight and maybe try to work on getting that amended in later legislation, or maybe wait till 2030 and maybe the way it's formulated, we just do a new thing and so the rules don't apply? Or do you think there would be some pressure to sort of get your house in order however you want it? I mean, which way do you think the SEC and the Big Ten would go on this?
I think it's the latter of the options you just put out there. I think they want to make sure – there's no doubt in my mind both leagues really don't want to have their own super league. I think they really want Congress to help them get things established so they can do the things they need to do, and, like, there's law behind it. So, in other words, when it comes to rev sharing, NIL, media rights, all that stuff, there's legislation there for it and rules to follow, transfer portal, the whole nine yards, right? I think they want to be a part of that. They pushed for that. So, of course, they want to be a part of that. So I don't think you're going to see them break off and go form their own league, even though Shankey talked about how they have been talking about it on the SEC side. He did confirm that this week. So, but I think it's more so I think they want to get their house in order before this everything goes into play. So I think it's the latter, and part of getting your house in order is if you're going to realign. Now, you don't have to, but if you're going to, I think this is when you make that move. Because it also, if you're the ACC, whoever they take, it gives you the opportunity to go get somebody too. So let's say, you know, the SEC takes two ACC teams out of their conference. Well, who does the ACC go get? Well, probably a West Virginia they go after, right, I would say. And then probably maybe a Central Florida they go after, so they go and raid the Big 12 and take maybe two of their teams out, or three, depending on, you know, if they want to bring South Florida with them because of that rivalry. And then you got two teams in. If you lose a team or two out of the state of Florida, you at least get two back, so you're not losing that market, right? So it's going to be interesting to see the domino effect that will happen if this plays in. But I think all the conferences – and, Clark, I'll say this much, okay? And you'd read into this what you want to, and I'm going to read like I'm reading into it. Last week when the news came out about the SEC, about this bill could get passed sooner rather than later through the Senate, I wanted it in the SEC and them sending their stuff to the senators there and cruising them and saying, hey, look, here's what we got. Here's our revisions. I went to go ask Jim Phillips for a comment, a new comment. Now, he commented the day before, but I wanted a new comment, right? Like, okay, now things have changed. What are your thoughts? Kind of just wanted to get his thoughts on things. He refused to request my interview. He refused my request to talk to him. And you read into that what you want, Paul.
Very interesting.
And I wasn't the only one that asked for him. There were several other media members that also asked for him and were not given that interview. I was told he was busy and he may not be able to get to me. And then I said, well, could you just let me know? And I was told, yeah, he was going to go with his answer from the previous day. So I'm like, okay.
Very interesting right there. All right, final one for you. This is more political stuff. This one, I got to be honest, I don't get. Not that I disagree your reporting, but I don't get this. That the part of the legislation, Ross Dellinger reported this, and you're sort of walking this out too. Part of this legislation is we're going to raise the cap on rev share so that NIL goes away. I mean, I'm pretty sure the court said we have to let them use their name, image, and likeness. I'm pretty sure the court said that. What is going on with this?
Well, remember, if they're going to have to, regardless of what they decide on the rev share side, they're going to have to on how they use it. So let's say what the article is that they're basically saying they can increase to $40 or $50 million with a cap, right? That's money used to give to players at all athletes in the schools. So 21.3 of that is to be used for retention, to retain the current student athletes, and then the rest would go to getting new athletes out of the portal, whatever, right? High school, whatever. So what Dellinger reported is if that's the case, they're going to have to go back to the House, to the original agreement anyway, to the judge, and say, can we make some amendment to this and readjust? And if they do, one of the things that we're hearing, part of the deal to up the cap, and this is something the SEC is really high on as well as I think everybody is good with this except maybe the Big Ten. Because I think the Big Ten likes to having the whole NIL thing because they got the bigger alumni and things of that nature. But from what I understand, like the SEC's kind of supported this too. And so we're being told that, and it's being told by really, really doggone reliable source who's been a part of these negotiations, Walk, and was also part of the negotiations with the rev sharing deal from a couple years ago, that part of this deal is if we cap it at, let's say, $50 million, then part of that is we get rid of NIL. And allows schools not have to worry about the third-party issues, such as Clemson, that they have, and they can actually just work on raising the money however they want to raise it, and like they do with the rev share. And so that's why schools are leaning towards this. And if you think about it, Quark, I know some players are against it, and if you read Ross Dellinger's piece, he talks about that. Some players are against that. But overall, if they take the selfishness away, they realize this is good for all student athletes. So it's not just good for a few, the star quarterback or the star point guard, or the star baseball player. This is actually good for every student athlete if they can increase the cap that way and they eliminate NIL. Because you and I both know most of the NIL money goes to the superstar athletes.
Sure.
It's not going to the second team deep offensive lineman or that second team bench player on the women's team. It's not going to them. It's going to the superstar athletes. And so this is a way to actually give all the athletes more money and have the opportunity to make more money for what they're doing than just the superstars, which is what the NIL basically does. And so I think if the players overall look at it, the athletes overall look at it, I think they'll vote for this. So it's something to pay attention to and watch. It is definitely in the cards with this legislation. A lot of things are going to have to happen for all this to get passed, but we'll see what happens.
It's really interesting stuff. Could be in the next few weeks that a lot of things start changing underneath our feet in the world of college athletics. Willie V, always appreciate it. We'll let you get back to the political beat. Check him out at theclemsoninsider.com. Ask Taylor Will on Twitter. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. That is Will Vandervoort. Always a pleasure. All right, short break. We'll come back. Much more to talk about. We got some football and some baseball. We got a lot. Irons in the fire after this.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app. Download it today.
You know, my wife is a better cook than me. She cares about cooking more than me. A lot of times I get sent to the store, to Ingles, to get the things that she needs. I'm getting a little more comfortable understanding, like, how good food becomes good food. And it helps when you have a plethora of good options at Ingles. Like, I get a little adventurous sometimes, but every single time I do, it comes back either an ingredient, really good food, or a good snack idea for my two-year-old, or whatever the case may be. Ingles has got me covered. I went to the pharmacy the other day, and it was very well stocked. I got a lot of restocking done, and was able to do that and take advantage of a lot of savings. Ingles Gas sent me to Charlotte. I saved 40 cents a gallon before I went to Charlotte. That's the kind of gas savings we're talking about. At Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
No scripts.
No spin.
Yeah.
Just the truth.
105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
Overwhelmed by Medicare? Alone? Maybe a bit scared? Don't worry. We've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Whether it's our famous glazed or one of our specialty donuts, we have something for everyone at work or at home. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hey, this is KDE over here at Engineer Sleep. Before I ever built mattresses, I played college football. And one thing sports taught me is that your body only performs as well as you let it recover. That's why I take so much pride in what we build here at Engineer Sleep. Every mattress is made by real hands, built strong, and built to help you wake up ready for the day. If you want a mattress made by people who know what real rest means, come see us at Engineer Sleep.
Hi, I'm Christopher Pratt. After a catastrophic injury, the loss of someone you love, everything changes. And while your family's trying to put the pieces back together, insurance companies and big corporations are already building their defense. These cases are serious, and they require serious lawyers. At Pratt Injury Lawyers, we focus on catastrophic injury and wrongful death cases. We have the resources, the talent, and the courtroom experience to fight for families during the hardest moments of their lives. Visit 864law.com for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2026? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go!
ESPN has announcers on elimination and championship games in every region of the United States. It's incredible. It's sad Carl Ravage couldn't be doing one of these, man.
Man.
Unbelievable. Well played. Every time I look up, it's a different game.
Got to have something on TV.
Golly. Speaking of that, what we've been watching is World Cup. Remind me to tell you about the World Cup final ratings.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. I've been wondering.
Oh, yeah. Remind me to tell you about that after we get Jason and Columbia's phone call on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. I tell you what, nothing says the dog days of summer sports abyss than whip around softball, Little League softball coverage on ESPN.
It's impressive.
It kind of tells you where we are.
It's like, it's like red zone for Little League softball. This is amazing.
You know, we need a Paul Feinbaum red zone. You know, we just bounce around every time he says something to pull all of us. You know, I think in the wrestling business, they call the fans marks. They pull us marks in to respond. Yeah. Hey, you know, it was interesting, you know, when you were talking in the previous hour about Crying Shane. And for the record, I think we have enough evidence that Crying Shane is probably a pretty good dude. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that he and Dabo get along very well, just like it probably wasn't an accident that Dabo and Will Muschamp did not get along very well. So, you know, I say all this with the proper context, but to me it is fascinating, Hawkeye, you know, where they are right now. Because if you had told me, like, in 2020, you know, there's part of me that wants to say that Shane's done better than maybe I thought he would have after the first 5 years. But I say that probably just because of some of the big wins over teams that they were not beating the previous, you know, decade before he got there. Certainly, if you would have told me he would have beaten Clemson 2 out of 5 years, there's no way I would have believed that. But same token, I wouldn't have believed that Louisville or Syracuse or Duke would have beat us multiple times either. So I think that probably says more about us the last 5 years. But it is strange, though, the lack of consistency. Like, Quack, I wonder, like, if you took Shane's good or mediocre to good 3 years, so the 9-win season, the 8-win season, and throw in his first season when they acted like they're going to build a statue because he made a bowl. And if you stack those as year 3, 4, and 5, I think the attitude around that program would be so much different, obviously. It's just the emotional roller coaster that this dude takes them on. And I thought it was hilarious that apparently his first question from the media gaggle yesterday was about the Texas A&M game. And he said, can we not speak about it, which I appreciate, you know. And that game, I think, typifies his whole existence there, because not only was it just the bizarre result of the game itself, Quark, but it was the interview after the first quarter. Man, we beat these guys last year or whatever by 2 touchdowns. Nobody's scared of Texas A&M. And then doing the arm waving coming off the field at halftime. You know, it's the extra stuff that Beamer does. Because I will differ with you on one thing, Quark. I think their fans are irritated by his personality a lot of the time. I mean, he is very thin-skinned. You know, we've said some similar things about Dabo in the past. But, like you said, Dabo actually has a past he can talk about and credibility. And so I think my read on their fan base is they do respond well when he says the stuff like he did yesterday, which, you know, was smart of him to say. But then they also respond very negatively when he gets defensive and says, you know, well, the people at the Catawba Fish Camp couldn't be more excited, Cornblute, you know, stuff like that after they came off of missing a bowl season. And so, I, to me, that's where you and I differ in the view of Crying Shane. I think there is some frustration within their fan base, not just on the results and the zigzag, but also, like, the thin-skinnedness and maybe the kind of petulance that he can display sometimes.
You know, that's a good point, Jason. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Man, Crying Shane gets me every time. Guy likes the tears. What can I tell you? He's a crier. He likes to cry when he's happy and when he's not so happy. He's crying all the time. You know, I could see that. I could see the South Carolina fans being irritated about some of the thin skin stuff, some of the commentary, whatever. I definitely could see that. Before we get back to Jason, let me tell you about the World Cup.
The other Jason.
The other Jason. We're gonna get the other Jason. That's right. Ben, I'm shocked at this number, okay? I'm shocked at this number. There are people who are asking, okay, great World Cup, congratulations. What does it mean for America? My answer is I don't know. I'm not sure it means much for the domestic product. If anything, I think maybe more people will be watching the English Premier League. Maybe good for Peacock subscriptions. Stuff like that. Maybe get them a little more money in their next deal. I think it shows that we will watch the top levels of soccer. This is Spain and Argentina on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock. And here is what ESPN is telling you. Now, this is an ESPN story, but it's basically like an AP-style deal. 38.937 million viewers on Fox on the average. A peak of over 51.6 million viewers easily the most watched English language soccer telecast in U.S. history. I saw another stat that said it drew more people than the AFC or NFC championship games last year.
That is roughly 7 million more than watched the college football national championship this past year. The only thing greater than that in the United States is the Super Bowl, and that'll never be passed.
But wait, Ben. 22.6 million watched in the United States on Telemundo. So the total number of viewers for the World Cup final featuring Argentina and Spain exceeded 60 million viewers.
Wow.
60 million.
So it doubled the college football national championship.
Yes.
Basically.
If you're wondering.
Wow.
Dwarfs the final from 4 years ago. Dwarfs the final from 8 years ago. I'm looking at some other numbers. The FS1, like the earlier games, essentially doubled the ratings from 2022. It was like 7.7 million on the average on, what were these channels? Fox, FS1, and Tubi. Up from, it was 7.737, up from 3.588 million in 2022 and 2.77 million in 2018. Now, it should be noted that the Nielsen ratings are calculated differently than they were in 2022. You're adding sports bars and large gatherings. You're probably more accurate in what you're getting, but the gap is probably smaller. Ben, 60 in a country of what, 330 million people? They're telling me 20% of the country watched a soccer match featuring two non-American countries on a 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of July?
That's shocking.
I'm telling you, this tells me that there is staying power if the level of play is this high.
Had the United States not got off to such a hot start in this, though, and attracted so many, casual viewers, would that number be that high?
I don't think so.
I mean, and it's fine. Even if it was off 30%, that's still a huge number. That did help. The fact that it's in the U.S., the fact that it is going on, there's the patriotism aspect of it all. In the year of our 250th anniversary, 250th birthday, right? So all of those things, I think, were contributing factors. Not to mention, there's a lot of casuals that don't know anything about soccer or don't know soccer players, but they know who Messi is.
Right.
And he was in the final.
It helped that the stars were always great, mm-hmm. and you could kind of count on the stars to deliver all tournament long.
I'm in no way trying to discount. I'm trying to comprehend why so many people watch.
It is amazing. I think this is an interesting what if. What if the Turkey match was first and the Paraguay match was third? What if they flipped? I wonder if these numbers will be off, because I feel like the way the United States on that Friday night, it was the first week of the tournament. The way they catapulted themselves into the national consciousness in the first half of the Paraguay match was important. If they lose, and listen, I know why they lost to Turkey. It wouldn't have played out the same way if it was the first game. But if they lose 3-2 or whatever to Turkey, like if they lost to Turkey the first game, I bet the numbers are down a little. Because I think you're right about the United States creating a tidal wave that people could kind of ride.
The response here on the station to it has been startling, too. Now, there's some who say, I don't get it. You watch this long for two goals. And, I understand all that. But, it is kind of a slow period in sports right now. That helps, too. But I've got to think that quite a few people watched early and said, okay, this is a lot better than I realized it was going to be. Like you could hate soccer, but you probably watched one of the U.S. matches, and that was enough for you to realize that it is much better than what you thought. I found myself in that camp.
We had family birthdays at my grandparents' house on Sunday, and we watched Argentina and Spain on the big TV in the living room at 3 o'clock with a bunch of family gathered. I'm sure Nielsen measured all of us. And what I came, like, I don't think I've ever watched soccer at Grand and Pawpaw's house. I've never watched a soccer match. Now, they are good grandparents. When I'm calling soccer, they will tune in to watch me call soccer. But we don't stop what we're doing and watch mm-hmm. soccer. But we did on Sunday.
I did on Sunday. One of the reasons that I did on Sunday, too, and this might have been the case for other people, is the Open Championship led into it.
That was cool.
And there was an overlap, and it was enough of an overlap where I didn't need to watch every second of either, but having them both available to me was a great channel flipping opportunity. So I found myself doing that. And then, of course, I mean, it is 0-0, and you get to, you know, extra time there and overtime. And you know, then the Open was over. And now you're committed to watching.
That's right. Texter Jeff points out, I think the country versus country drama draws people in too.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed how the World Cup becomes about everyone's worst moment of colonization. Where, like, it could be like Denmark and Poland. And the online would be like people rooting for Poland, and they're like, well, did you know that Poland exterminated these people in 812 AD? And then Polish people being like, well, Denmark sucks because in 714 they did this. And it's like, it's the most perfect thing ever. It's like whatever the worst thing you did in history, the other country's fans are going to let you know about it, no matter how long ago it was. Amazing. Egypt was getting trolled about the Red Sea, for gosh sakes. I mean, that's incredible. That's thousands of years, man. Thousands of years. Short break. We'll come back, wrap up the show with some Hump Day headlines right after this.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
Your upstate sports authority.
Tiger fans, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson. We at The Roar have been saying this for years because we believe it. At Elkmont, providing an outstanding shopping experience is Amy and Lee's passion. Nowhere else will you find all the brands you love under one roof. On Running, Birkenstock, Patagonia, Z Supply, Poncho Shirts, Costa, Maui Gyms, Rainbow Sandals, Turtle Box Speakers, Filson, Extra Tough Rain Boots, and the list continues to grow recently by adding L.L. Bean to the Elkmont offering. L.L. Bean is an industry legend known for reasonably priced, quality performance clothing. At Elkmont, it's not just a tagline. There really is something for everyone. Elkmont wants to thank all the Roar listeners for your support through the last 30 years and hope you'll continue to visit Elkmont at the intersection of Highway 123 and 93 in Clemson or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. And go Tigers!
When it's time to paint, the Upstate turns to Spectrum Paint, your source for Benjamin Moore paints. Visit them in Clemson, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Landrum for expert color matching, premium Benjamin Moore paints, and expert service. Whether you're a professional contractor or a do-it-yourselfer refreshing a room, their experts are here to help you get it right the first time. Stop by your nearest Spectrum Paint store or explore products, colors, and more at SpectrumPaint.com. Spectrum Paint, your independent and family-owned Benjamin Moore paint source.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore, co-owner of Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Summer is here, and every cookout, pool day, and road trip deserves a better snack option. Poppington's is popped fresh in Greenville using real beef tallow from our family farm, never seed oils, for a rich flavor and perfect crunch you can feel good about. Find us in downtown Greenville at all AMPM Farms Butchery and Market locations or order online at Poppington's.com. Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Proudly owned, proudly popped.
The best 13 to 16-year-old baseball players come together August 1st through the 8th as Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series at J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. See U.S. teams in action, along with Asia, Europe, Australia, Latin America, and Canada. You can be part of this sports spectacular in person. August 1st through the 8th, the Senior League Baseball World Series. Games daily at J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. Social media under Senior League Baseball World Series.
Most people don't think about hiring a lawyer until the unthinkable happens. After a car wreck, the initial shock is often replaced by an overwhelming list of questions. Who pays for the car? How do the medical bills get covered? And what happens if you can't go back to work tomorrow? Our team handles every detail of your case, from investigating the crash to negotiating with insurance adjusters. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 for a free confidential consultation. There are no upfront costs. Smith Jordan Law, focused on your recovery, committed to your results.
Tiger fans.
Podium.
That's why we need another hour.
If you thought yesterday's rant was spicy, stay tuned. Please stay tuned. Let's go to Maria, who's up with us next on the Brad Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Maria.
Hey.
What's going on?
I think in the World Cup, to make it more interesting, they need to use a stick like they do in hockey.
And just whack the ball? Man, that'd be hard.
Yeah.
Soccer balls are heavy.
It'd make it way more interesting. Me and my mama tried to watch a game, and we just couldn't get into it.
Can I tell you something? I think hockey is hard because they use a stick and it moves so fast. It's hard to keep up with the puck.
Yeah, I was going to say, Maria, you mean like hockey?
Yeah. It's like hockey on grass.
You know, Maria, maybe it would work. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. They do have field hockey.
I was going to say, like,
they do have a sport. Hockey. They do have a sport for that.
Yeah.
Ben, you have done the Lord's work because I was unaware. I was not watching the clock or paying attention that our show fell in Pete Golding's time with the media.
We should have just taken the whole thing live. Well, we couldn't have because there was a couple of four-letter bombs dropped there.
Oh, shocker. Shocker. Pete Golding, not a fan of decorum. By the way, John Summerall did the same thing. Very incredibly appropriate. The guy's a freaking football coach. Pete Golding does it. Worst human being. And I'm standing by both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what Pete Golding said when asked for the 98th time, I think. Hey, so the thing with the Ferrelli kid. What are you doing there?
Responsibility to recruit really good players, right? Coach them extremely hard, get them ready to win football games. So we're going to continue to recruit really good players. That's both in the high school market and in the portal market, and we'll continue to do it. Have we done it? What have we created? So we've created it on top of representation for these players, right? That it's their responsibility to make sure they get paid really well and they also have opportunities. So by design, it's put a lot of people in bad positions. And let's not act like recruiting in college football for the last 100 years is the most moral thing, right, that's ever been existed. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? So I'm really not going to get into my feelings. I don't know how I've been educated to answer this question, right? Does that make sense? It's where we have a great, great compliance department, right, and all those type of things.
Every time he opens his mouth, he admits that he cheats. To the point that he just told us that his compliance department has educated him on what to say. Hey, Coach Golding, if you could just not admit publicly that you cheated, that would be awesome. Thanks.
Ben, how many compliance departments are having to do PR spin classes with the head coach?
He also went on to say, when asked about tampering, he says, when you're on the interstate and people are flying by you, what do? You speed up. You speed up or you're going to get hit. It's the everybody's doing it, therefore I'm innocent approach.
This guy's an idiot, though. And, like, look, we knew that, right? Like, if you're out there and you think, well, Pete Golding's got an IQ higher than 40, then you've just missed it. You've totally missed it. This guy's a meathead jock who can't coach. He probably can't hold a decent job. Hey, the guy's a horrible person and a horrible coach and a horrible human being. That's just what he is. And he's got a track record going back as a coach. Nobody respects him. The only person that's scared of him is Greg Sankey because Greg Sankey has no stones about him. The reality is this, that this guy knows he cheated. He knows he screwed up. The quote that you just gave about going fast in the interstate, has he not been the The back of the line fast car that gets pulled? You imbecile? Of course you're getting pulled. You know who doesn't get pulled over for speeding? The first guy. The last guy that's blowing the speed limit out of the water is the one that gets pulled. And if you've never been that guy, then you've never lived a freaking day in the world. You know what? Pete Golding knows about getting pulled over by police, Ben, because of DUI. Look at the freaking picture. Look at that freaking picture. That guy knows everything about getting pulled. You know what you do? When you're getting passed and you're drunk as a skunk behind the wheel of the car, Pete Golding, you get pulled. You see the blue lights. Woo! And then your life's over. Unless you're Pete Golding where you fail up because you work for a scumbag who left his school and went to another school. Great work, Pete Golding. Great work, compliance, by the way. That PR session worked out great when Pete Golding told everyone, he explained the joke while he's telling it. What an absolute imbecile. The guy's such an idiot that he doesn't even know that you're not supposed to tell everyone that compliance told you how to answer a question about how you recruit now.
God bless him, man.
I mean, this guy's a dullard. He's an absolute idiot. Every day we're reminded how few brain cells this guy has. That's why he has to brazenly break the rules that everyone knows. Even the ones that always cheat knew you couldn't do what you did. Even the cheaters knew that you weren't supposed to do what you did. Even Mario Cristobal, who tampered with a quarterback for $10 million and promised a house and a scholarship for the sister, knows you can't do what you did. What a freaking moron. I cannot wait. Listen, Ben, I'm 37, okay? I'm well past the point. I am so mature now. I am well past the point where I cheer for people to get fired because that's families and livelihoods. We will have a cake. When Pete Golding gets fired, there will be cake. We will have a party on this freaking show.
Yes.
That this guy is out of college football and out of the country. Send him to another place. I don't want to ever see that guy again. Ever. Sucks as a person. Get out. Deport him first. Get out. Build the wall so high that he can't climb up. I hate this guy. Absolutely hate this guy every day. What a disaster.
I hate him for cheating, and I hate him for being stupid. I mean, really, that's you're a two-time loser.
That's a combo. That is a combo right there. I look forward to more sound bites from Pete Golding moving forward. Do you want to do Hump Day headlines?
Sure.
Gentler tone at the end from the camel.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Ben, you have lots of hump day headlines. I just want to do this. And if we don't get to any of my other ones, that's great. Darren Rovell tweeted that a new ballpark food, I think it's Colorado, I have to look. How do you feel about dill pickle?
I am becoming more and more of a fan.
How do you feel about white chocolate?
Always been a fan.
Are you a fan of those two things together?
I would not think so, but I don't rule it out because dill pickle's being added to a lot of things. It sounds gross, and then all of a sudden it's not gross.
Dill pickle and white chocolate.
We had dill pickle potato chips the other day. Like, that's disgusting. No, they were great. They were great.
That's all I have to say. A lot of times I'm like, I'd try that one time. Minnesota State Fair, not the Rockies, that's something else. Minnesota State Fair, dill pickle, white chocolate chip cookie. Please, sir, continue.
Could you win this race? Now, you know, the Tour de France is going on right now. It's basically over. It ends on Sunday. Tadej Pogačar is going to win this thing, I mean, going away. It's all but done. But last month or 2 months ago, last month, the – where was this? This was in Illinois. They had a 36-mile bike race. I mean, this is a legit race. However, there are two donut shop stops on the route. And for every donut you could eat in a five-minute period of time, they deducted 5 minutes from your overall time.
What the heck?
These are like real cyclists. The winner of the overall race ate 16 donuts in these two stops. Between the two stops. The most eaten in the two stops was a lady who ate 20.
This is like the Heritage after the Masters, is what you're telling
me. Yeah,
that's
pretty
what
much.
This is 20 donuts.
This makes me intrigued and also kind of sick to my stomach.
Oh my word. Yeah, I'm like,
is this something that you want to go watch?
I don't.
Do you want to watch this? Say, I mean, are there like Port-a-John's 5 miles past the donut shops?
It's perhaps? Warm in the Midwest right now, Ben.
Okay.
It's a little too warm to be watching this. Have you seen the scouting controversy in Major League Baseball?
I have not.
All right, real quickly, I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts of this. The Angels fired a scout because he secretly recorded the Rockies. This guy's been dubbed the baseball spy, Justin Boomer Prinstein. Hired by the Angels in December, he was filming Colorado Rockies coaches on his cell phone while working in the stands. Ben, do you want to know who two of the worst scouting departments are in Major League Baseball and two of the worst farm systems?
Well, anybody that thinks they need to watch the Rockies.
The Angels and the Rockies are absolutely atrocious at this. Why would you copy off the dumbest kid's paper? That's basically what this guy's doing. He should be fired for being bad at his job, honestly. Why would you not go scout, like, record the Dodgers or the Yankees or, like, the Brewers or the Braves? Not this clown show. That is terrible.
I have two dumb crook stories. In California last week, So there was a break-in, and cops had video of the vehicle leaving the scene. So they put out an APB. They found the vehicle, pulled the vehicle. They weren't sure if it was the guys, but then when they searched the vehicle, Quok, they didn't find the merchandise. They found the guy's cell phone where they had taken selfies of the burglary. also selfies of where they had hid the merchandise stolen.
Why would you? You're never looking at that again. Why would you take those?
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures. There's selfies of the guy stealing copper wire, and he's doing the old two-finger pose to the camera with the roll of spool of copper wire in the background.
No way.
And then in Florida last week, on I-75, a drunk driver crossed the center line, sideswiped another vehicle. Then he flipped his truck. He was not seriously hurt. The people in the car might have been, to the point that they called a medical chopper. Medical choppers landed, dealing with the two patients, preparing them. Old boy tries to steal the chopper. never flown a helicopter before, but I'm willing to try.
That is some Peter Griffin Family Guy stuff right there.
That's unbelievable.
That's what that is. To the Peter Copter. Oh, my gosh, that's so good. Gosh, that's so good. I love dumb criminals. You know what? Still smarter than Pete Golding. Would do better in Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader than Pete Golding. Both of those criminals.
He's too dumb to be a dumb criminal.
I'm still trying to figure out who you sending those selfies to. Hey, man, share those in the cloud. I need you to airdrop me them photos we took. The copper wire.
Peace.
Why are you taking the